John chapter 20 and verse 31. What was the verse for last week? Does anybody remember? I was trying to remember what the passage was last week. I mean, I've got all of the verses memorized, but I'm trying to remember which is the one we memorized for last Sunday. Does anybody remember? This is the doctrine of Christ. It had to have been, should have been the doctrine of God. Okay, I've wondered, okay, John 4, 24, can you say that with me, please? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4, 24, the doctrine of God, nature of God, is a spirit. Tonight, the doctrine of Christ, and what is the subtitle? Deity of Christ. And so I touched upon this morning, but tonight this is a continuation of the message from this morning. And I did that on purpose. Let's look at John chapter 20. And to get the context of verse 31, obviously we looked at verses 24 to 29 this morning. But I want to look at verses 30 and 31 tonight. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye may know that Jesus, that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the believing ye might have life through his name. Now think about this. A new era began after the apostles where sinners did not see with their eyes the Lord Jesus Christ as Thomas did, the risen Savior. But they relied upon the testimony of the apostles, including the testimony of Thomas. Think about that. And so you have the signs witnessed by Mary earlier in this chapter, the signs witnessed by the disciples, mid part of chapter 20, and then the signs witnessed by Thomas himself, verses 24 to 29. Tonight we're going to look at the signs witnessed by many disciples, and that's what is said in verse 30. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. Because of the signs performed in the presence of the disciples, you could call all of these disciples accredited witnesses. Accredited witnesses. And what I find interesting about verse 30 is that John had much more material. He had so much more he could have written. But what is in the book of John is not everything that Jesus said or Jesus did. John heard so much more. John saw so much more. Think about it. John did not record the miraculous birth of Jesus. He did not record his temptation. He did not record the healing of the lepers. He did not record the demoniacs, the transfiguration, Gethsemane. He did not record the ascension. One of the reasons he probably didn't is because the earlier Gospels did, the Synoptics. And John, writing this in the year 90 or 95, sees no need because those Gospels enter existence and people know those Gospels. But it goes further than that, folks. If John were to write everything that Jesus ever said or did, how many books would that require? Well, he gives the answer. Look at this chapter 21 and look at verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Think about that. That even all of the books in the world couldn't contain the things that Jesus did. What things did Jesus do? Is it just what you see written in the Gospels? You see, because Jesus had his beginning in Bethlehem, right? Trick question. No, that is simply his coming in the flesh. If you were to write everything he has ever said or done, you'd have to go back to the Old Testament too. So many things we don't know about. But guess what? God has given us what he wants us to know. And that's why there's another verse that says that the scriptures are sufficient. Can somebody help quote that one? Somebody, please give me the reference and the verse that the sufficiency of God's word. Don't embarrass me, class. Dolores? That's the one we're looking at tonight. There's another one. Summer? Yes, ma'am. Quote it, please. When you're on the spot, it kind of makes your mind blank out. Ye shall not add? Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. God gave us everything that we need. And even in the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, we have what God wanted us to have. So John is pointing out a contrast between verses 30 and 31. On the one hand, verse 30, on the other hand, verse 31. Let me read it this way. On the one hand, I'm looking at verses 30 and 31, kind of paraphrasing. On the one hand, there are doubtless many more signs Jesus did that could have been reported. Verse 30. But verse 31, on the other hand, these have been committed to writing so that you may believe. So what God has given us and what the Apostle John recorded under inspiration of the Holy Spirit is what God meant for us to have for one purpose. So that you might believe. That's why this was recorded. And note, the signs that are mentioned in verse 30 were done in the presence of the disciples. They were not done in our presence. So what do we have? Verse 31. But these are... Let me say that again, and I got a response from Dave, but I want a response from everybody. It's verse 31. When I get to that, when I stop, say the next word out loud. But these are written. Where are they written? I do this sometimes. Would you please hold up your Bibles if you have a Bible tonight? Folks, here it is. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing him had of life through his name. This is written. What the disciples witnessed, they wrote down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is the key verse to the Gospel of John. If you know John 20:31, you know the key verse to the entire book. And the key word of the Gospel of John is believe. Believe. Let's look at the composition of the writing, because he says these are written. John's purpose statement for this gospel account is John 20, verse 31. But what are these? When it says, but these, to what is it referring? It is referring to the signs. The signs of which John means to speak are essentially the miracles. Not as separate from Jesus' teachings, but it's the signs which are almost a commentary on his teachings. Folks, we have what is written, a written account of Jesus' signs. Now, the Jews are always asking for more. Yeah, go back to chapter 6 and look at verse 30. Even after seeing a miracle, a tremendous miracle that Jesus has performed, the feeding of 5,000, notice what they say in verse 30 of John chapter 6. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? This is after so many other signs that Jesus had already performed. They're always asking for more signs. Now, you may remember this from our time when we went through the book of John years ago. But the purpose of a sign is not to draw attention to itself. The purpose of a sign is to draw attention to someone or to something else. And I gave this illustration years ago. Have you ever seen a sign that has written on it, S-I-G-N? Oh, that's a sign. Oh, it says it's a sign. No, because it doesn't draw attention to itself. And the signs that Jesus performed were not intended to draw attention to the miracle itself. It's a sign. And a sign is there to draw your attention to something else. It's like Richard C. Trench says in his Synonyms of the New Testament, a sign is valuable not so much for what it is as for what it indicates. There's a child coming to Colorado from Nebraska. Coming to I-80. You know, we'd come from Monroe, Nebraska. We would drive down to I-80, come through Kearney, and then we'd come through North Platte, and then you come by Ogallala, and then you start swinging down, you start coming in, and guess what? As a kid, we'd see this sign that says, "Welcome to beautiful Colorado." And right away, looking for the mountains. Where are the mountains? We're in Colorado. Where are the mountains? Man, we didn't see any. Man, you kept driving, and you go to Julesburg. Man, this place out in the middle of nowhere. Man, I don't see any mountains yet. And you go a little bit further. Man, there's no mountains yet. We saw the sign. It said Colorado. How do you know when you're in Colorado? Did the sky all of a sudden turn blue? Well, in some ways it did. Were the mountains visible? No. Did the humidity change from humid Nebraska to all of a sudden Colorado, it's not humid? No. How did we know we were in Colorado? We saw a sign. The sign said, we were in Colorado. The sign was meant to draw attention to the fact that we were in Colorado. It wasn't intended to draw attention to itself, although people get out of their cars, go up to the sign, and have their picture taken next to the sign. Why? To prove they've been next to the sign? No, to prove they've been in Colorado. The sign is intended to draw attention to something else. But folks, in Jesus' ministry, people were always looking at the signs and focusing on the signs and concentrating on the signs and give us another sign. Unbelievers always want more signs. Go back to John chapter 12. Notice what is said in verse 37 of John chapter 12. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they would not believe him. And by the way, that word miracles there is the same word for signs that you find in John chapter 20 and verse 30. All of these signs he did, and so many of them, and that emphasizes the lack of response in view of the many signs, yet they believed not on him. Literally, they were not believing. They kept not believing. Same imperfect tense that I pointed out this morning about how the disciples kept telling Thomas, "We have seen the Lord. Thomas, we have seen it." It was emphasized that it was continually taking place. Signs that Jesus performed time and again, and yet they persisted continually in unbelief and progressed in their unwillingness to believe in Jesus Christ. It tells me something. Every man is responsible. God has done so many signs before men that man has no excuse. No man has an excuse. Even the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And so you see the composition of the writing, or the composition of the book. These are written. Now the purpose, what's the purpose? That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That ye, that is those who followed the disciples. To whom is John writing this? Is he writing this to the other disciples? They're all dead by this time. To whom is he writing this book? That you might believe. And by the way, that word ye is plural. That's another nice thing about the King James Version. If you see the word ye, it's plural. If you see the word you, it's singular. Ye, plural. Well, who are these plural people that he's writing this to? Well, for one, every person alive today. That you might believe. That's why these are written. In order that you might believe. Two things. Faith and life. In order that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That you might believe. Not have knowledge. But that you might believe. Thomas had a knowledge of Jesus. And that he was alive. The ten had kept telling him this all week. John's gospel is aimed, folks, not just at the head, but at the heart. And faith or believing what? That Jesus is the, and the word Messiah, Christos, can also be translated Messiah, or literally the anointed one. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God, that you might believe who Jesus is. And as we saw this morning, when Thomas put his hand into his, when he was told to put his hand, he never did, but when he was told to put his hand into the print of the nails and thrust his hand into his side, Thomas didn't even do it before he said, "My Lord and my God," the deity of Jesus Christ. And now, John is closing the book saying, but these are written that ye might believe, just like Thomas did, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he is God. That's why this is the deity of Christ. So in order that you might believe, that's faith. And then it closes in this verse with this, and that believing ye might have. So you have two ye mights. Ye might believe and ye might have life. Life. In order that believing you might have life in his name. Life comes through faith, through believing. Believing what? In his name. Through his name is the means by which you might have life. Now, the first three gospels, I believe, are more missionary preaching gospels intended for those who do not know the Lord. On the other hand, I believe, and others would differ with me, you might even differ with me, but I believe that John, written last, AD 90, I believe was written to believers who did not know the Lord when he walked this earth. But you know the very verse that people use to disprove that? Are these two verses. They say, but wait a second. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe. That sounds like it's being written to unsaved people, does it not? Folks, listen. I believe this is written in the sense of 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you, John says there, that ye might believe that Jesus, that you might believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It was written to those who already believed, and yet it was written that they might know that they have eternal life, and that they might believe those who already believe. Because this is literally how you can translate John 20, verse 31. These are written that ye might keep on believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Why is this important? Because the faith of believers is constantly under attack and constantly being undermined. Indeed, the more convinced I am of my salvation, the more I will be evangelistic. By the way, this is the reason many Christians are silent, because they are not convinced of their own salvation. How can I tell somebody else that which I am not even convinced of myself? But the book of John is written so that you might constantly be reminded, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We become like Thomas in our doubts. And if you ever experience doubts as a Christian, you know what? It's not because you're a heretic. It's not because you're this, you're a rot. It's because you're still in human flesh. And you're going to be doubting sometimes. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever doubted, I wonder if I'm in the right religion? I wonder if this is right. Here goes my hand. You say, Pastor, you... Yep. You know what squares me away? I get back into the Bible. And I read God's Word. And you especially go to the book of John. And you go, how could I ever doubt? This is so plain. This is so powerful when I read God's Word. I've mentioned to you before that John the Baptist even had doubts. Sent a messenger to Jesus Christ and said, are you the one? John the Baptist, right before he dies, is saying, are you truly the one? He, John the Baptist, who said, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. The one who baptized Jesus Christ himself. And at the end of his life, he is saying, are you the one or are we waiting for somebody else? And Jesus tells that messenger, you go back and you tell him, you've seen the dead raised. You've seen this. You've seen that. You've heard this. And I would say that when John the Baptist got that message back, he was praising God. Boy, I needed that. Because I tell you, sometimes the circumstances you find yourself in cause you to doubt. And here's John the Baptist, who has lived for the Lord, and he's in prison about to get his head chopped off. And he's experiencing some doubts. Don't be dismayed at the doubts. Just don't give in to them. Get back into the Word and start memorizing it, so that the Holy Spirit has something to draw upon in your heart and your mind to bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We need to be constantly reminded of why we believe. And so 1 John 5:13 was written to confirm the faith of those who believe. Because to whom is 1 John being written to? To believers. And so when you read it, John says there, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of... You're already Christians. That ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe. Now, how does that make sense? If he's writing to those who already believe, then why does he say at the end of that verse, 1 John 5:13, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might continue believing? That's why the book of John is good for new believers. Someone said that the purpose of the Gospel of John is to present Jesus as God in human form, and that through faith in Jesus, individuals would embrace salvation to eternal life. So what God has given then is adequate for man to know his sinful condition and his need for salvation. You know, we always want to know about the silent years of Jesus. Wonder what it was like when he was a child. What did he do? What was happening? I mean, don't you all like to fill in the blanks, even with other Bible stories? I want to find out what this was all about, what was happening. And I look forward to heaven because I think we're going to find some interesting things. I'd like to know what the other miracles and the signs were. Wouldn't you? But what God has given us is sufficient. Sufficient for what? It's enough for you to know that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. It is sufficient. That's why, let's not add to it. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. And let's not take away from it, neither shall you diminish out from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. God has given you everything you need that pertains to life and to godliness. What more do you want? What more do you demand? If it's anything above what you have in your hands, you've gone beyond what God has meant for you to have. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Let's quote that verse together with reference before and after again. John 20, 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John 20, 31. Lord, we thank you for your word and for the fact that you have given us all that is necessary, everything that pertains to life and to godliness, that we are not to add to it, we are not to take away from it. Lord, we thank you that through your word, we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the believing we have life through his name. And so, Lord, when we experience doubts, I pray that we would always come back to your word, your promises, and remember that God, who cannot lie, said it, and therefore we simply believe it. And so by faith, we accept what you have written. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We thank you for the word. We thank you for these things that are written for us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.